Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus Podcast. We've got a quorum. And hey, we're ready once again to get down to the nitty-gritty of all the news, politics, current events, and yes, of course, some laughs as long as Tim and Joel is here. All while informing our listeners about important stuff. Right, Tim?
Yeah. The business part.
You know. So you can be up to snuff on all the news of the day. I'm Ben Baker, your host. Tim Holden is here with all the wit and wisdom one can possibly possess.
With a 75 IQ.
And Joel Mace is furiously Googling away on his 1999 Acer Lappy 486. You remember the old Acer computers?
I remember Lappy. My son got into Strong Bad last week, and he's a super fan. Now he's constantly quoting Strong Bad. He emailed Strong Bad last week.
Still doing it?
No, but he of course the not. Email was still there, and him and the younger two, Bennett. Tucker and Emma, they got on and emailed them. I would love to know what the email content was, but we were super fans back in the
that was good
early 2000s. The old
days. The old Lappy 486. So together we make up the Man Cave Caucus Podcast, and we've got a lot to discuss today on the show, and we're gonna get right into it. First up, okay, so. Give us an update, guys, on the presidential race. We are in a campaign year of all campaign years. What has transpired over the past few weeks? I've been a little checked out, so bring me up to speed.
Well, first of all, I was hoping that you were going to bring me up to speed, but I will say that Uncle Joe is deteriorating.
Yeah, I think that's cognitive, an understatement.
Cognitive, he done went over the hill, and he's on a sled, on a, you ever been down?
On a sled, on a banana peel?
Well.
On an icy slope?
I don't know how they're going to keep him glued together for another week, much less through November. So it just raises more questions of what we were asking 6 months ago, but with hours of footage of, you know, you can only watch a guy shake hands with a curtain so many times.
Right.
Before.
And wonder.
You know, like, it really was a question. I was like, maybe they can do the old, you know, the whatever the Uncle Joe's cocktail that keeps him
bumbling
through.
I want to
know
what that is. I really do.
I think it could propel me to.
It's cocaine and Monster Energy.
Is that what it is?
That's the.
It's word on the street.
Kyle cocktail.
That's the word on the street. It's got to be something strong.
But it really is like every day another video comes out, and I'm like, this has got to be fake.
Cheap fake.
And then you realize that it was televised.
Right.
When you see the live flashing there, you're like, oh.
Yeah,
CNN let this one out, so it's probably real. And it's just, at what point is the rug pulled? That's all I'm waiting for. And do they let?
Do you think it's still going to be Biden? That's my question.
Biden's not there to be Biden. That's the problem. And so it's like, when do we find out who it is?
Right. Some people are saying that after the debate. Like as if the debate is going to be the real factor.
The debate.
Right. So there's a debate coming up, right, next Thursday?
Yeah. So
we'll be watching intently.
I would be watching intently, but I actually have, it turns out I'm pretty sure I have a free schedule that night. So, yeah, it really just comes down to who are they really going to roll out, and are they going to try to keep Trump off the ballot?
I think my original assessment that old Gavin Newsom could still be in the mix is still a possibility.
Old Greasy Gavin is waiting in the wings.
I'm not letting go of that yet.
To slide in.
Joel, what do you think? What do you think? Where are we at on this presidential race?
I'm guessing you guys saw that Biden jumped ahead of Trump in the Fox News poll.
Really?
But I'm told by my Democrat,
like overall?
Yeah. Just edged him out.
For sure.
In the Fox News poll. But in the area that he edged him out was in rural men voters. I don't think so.
There's no way.
Not happening. Mm-hmm. But I'm told by my Democratic friends that those polls are not accurate.
Which ones?
Well, I don't know. Whenever
that's a blanket statement.
Whenever the Democrats are up.
Mm-hmm. They like the polls.
They like the polls.
Right.
Whenever Trump's up, just not quite accurate. And here's the reasons why. And here's the articles to back it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to believe about any of them, to be honest, and how accurate they really are. But it is interesting to see whenever it supports their position, then they like it. And when it doesn't, they don't. But
yeah.
I took a quick look, okay, at some recent polls. It looks like Trump is up in the key swing states. So Pennsylvania, he's up 45% to Biden's 42, Arizona 43 to 39, Wisconsin 44 to 42, Georgia 45 to 37. Georgia seems like the biggest lead in the polls for a swing state.
Yeah.
Which I don't doubt that. Georgia did clean up some of their issues with,
mail-in balloting.
Well, voter integrity, really. Yeah. I mean,
there's a chance.
Election integrity. There's Michigan, he's up 44 to 42. Nevada, 42 to 39. Minnesota, 42 to 41. So, I mean, Georgia's the biggest gap right there in that poll. That's Emerson College polling, I think.
But tell me this. Let's say Greasy Gavin slides in.
Mm-hmm.
What do those numbers look like? Do they look better for Democrats?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, at this point, the guy's slick as can be.
Slicker than snot.
Yeah. And that will figure into it. That's for sure. But he's got a lot of baggage, too.
I think it would come out with a punch because he's not Biden and he's not Trump. Mm-hmm. So he would come out high. When people get to know him
initially,
well, you say
people
that
get to know him, he's wildly.
You say that,
left.
But when he comes out on November 3rd, that's the problem,
right?
Yeah, know?
Yeah. That I mean, that figures into it. Like when is the time? When
I they think pull the they blood, wait, but they literally wait till. I'm pretty sure Biden slips on said banana peel.
So, have you looked at the debate rules?
Yes.
No, but
Joel,
I just
looked those up.
I
got you.
I can only imagine.
I've never seen anything quite like it.
Who is the mediator? Is it mediator?
Oh,
it?
You know who it is. It's Bill Clinton's
Stephanopoulos.
Okay, yeah.
And then another super high-end liberal lady.
I was thinking of the guy.
Stacey Abrams.
The guy Stacey Abrams.
Not that no, super liberal.
If I was thinking of the guy in that term, it would be the ex-mayor of...
Pete Buttigieg?
No.
Booty Juice?
Oh, Detroit.
Who's the mayor of Detroit?
The former mayor of Detroit.
Mayor?
Short, salt and pepper hair.
No, that was Chicago you're thinking of.
Is it Chicago?
Lori Lightfoot?
Yeah.
That's Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Why does she have an Indian name?
Lightfoot.
She looks like a bad guy off of Batman.
Yes. Definitely. Anyways, a villain of all villains.
I've been trying to do better about.
But I think this new guy is worse than she was, actually.
He is.
Old Johnson.
Speaking of.
He's not as responsible as she is.
Who's the old. Bill Belichick, hoodie wearing.
Bill Belichick is dating a 28-year-old girl. Did you see that?
She looks so happy, though. They look happy.
She
together.
Looks happy. He looks happy.
Yeah, I think it's probably a
match made in heaven.
Mutually beneficial relationship.
Right. Right.
But no, the guy.
Philadelphia or Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yes.
Used to be a liberal. Now he's.
Yeah, he's sounding normal. The stroke wore off.
facial hair guy.
Yeah.
Terrible mustache or terrible goatee.
How come we can't think of his name?
Well, I can't think of names ever, so I'm just disappointed with the people, the one adults
thing,
in the
one
room.
One thing at a time and I'll Google
He's
it.
A senator now. We should know this.
But yeah, as the stroke wears off, he's sounding more reasonable. We've talked about
He's really disagreeing with a lot of his party right now.
Yeah.
No, he's flipped on him.
I got to give him that.
He done switched to
Fetterman.
Fetterman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I always remember it because of that weight loss drug, Fenermine. Fetterman.
Same ballpark?
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a word for that, isn't there? Like words that sound similar?
I do a lot of that.
What's the technical term for that, Joel?
The room temperature.
Synonym, homonym.
Sound
alike, not spelled alike, meaning is the same, but just sounds alike.
It's like Common Core math for English.
Homonym?
I can't remember.
It's called a homonym.
Have you ever checked out Common Core?
Yeah, it's quite a mess.
You want to feel special.
So what do you think is going to happen with the debate? Like, will Biden be actually coherent enough to even know what's going on? I mean, it does seem like he's really declined a lot. Did you watch any of the footage from the G7 summit?
Yeah.
Wandering off.
That's what I'm saying. Know, I mean, it's getting to the point
where...
Speaking
more gibberish.
All that cheap fake stuff.
It's
right.
It's so
it
much...
It seems like a sure sign of cognitive decline of some kind to me.
You know what I bet they're going to do? I just got it. If I were them, and I hate to even put this in the ethers, I would say, oh, Biden has COVID. Mm-hmm. We can't have him out in public.
Again.
Throw a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Deep fake.
Yeah.
Deep fake the debate. Say he's got to do it via Zoom. He's going to do it via Zoom.
There you go.
The Zoomgate scandal.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, deep fake. Somebody competent, they can do it. Trust me. We don't even know what it's capable of.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But
that would be the only way I see him putting up a string of thought.
So, some other things that's happened since we've really covered any of the news over the past month. But you guys may have heard about this. But Trump has been convicted.
Yes, 32 times.
Is it 32?
34.
Four.
Thought it was 34. So I like how Matt Walsh put it so candidly. So in a tweet, he said this. He said, a former president and current presidential candidate was just convicted of 34 felony charges by a jury of his political opponents during an election year based on a novel legal theory where the underlying alleged crime was never clearly explained and... without requiring the jury to even reach a unanimous conclusion about that. That is the very definition of a show trial. That's what Matt Walsh said, which I agree with. I mean, have you seen a situation? I mean, Joel, you're in law enforcement. Have you seen a situation where the judge is like, you know what? We don't all have to agree on this, jury. You know, if we can get a ratio here that we like, then... that'll be good enough. I think that's insane.
It is insane. It's unheard of. It's going to be flipped on its head at the first appeal.
I think you're right.
Kangaroo.
It's laughable.
Kangaroo court. Who was that? Judge Joe Brown. You guys remember Judge Joe Brown?
Oh, yeah. Like
this is something that you might see on Judge Joe Brown.
Right.
And, I mean, Trump kept his composure, or it would have been, you know, worthy of that slot. In the
speaking of television judges, Judge Judy, a former Manhattan judge, came out this week and said, "What a joke!"
Well, I was going to say,
let's not waste our Manhattan tax dollars.
I was going to say Judge Judy, but I
which
think
is a lot,
she,
by the way.
Yeah, and I think she kind of took her job serious. I don't remember; it's been a while. But Judge Joe Brown, sometimes he'd have some characters on, you know.
Never any as wild as Donald Trump.
No.
Guaranteed.
Hey, they missed out on some good television.
So
not taking that into a civil court with Judge Joe Brown.
Yeah.
I would have pay-per-viewed that.
It'd be priceless. And it seems as though, so, you know, it's what they've been trying to do all along. We know that. They want to get a conviction any way that they possibly can and then use it in the campaign. you know, what else do they have, right? I mean, January 6th, right? That farce didn't really work so well. Oh, by the way, I've been reading.
Oh,
there's a book you guys have got to read, okay? It's Eric Metaxas' book on Bonhoeffer. And when he's explaining, you remember who Bonhoeffer was, right?
Yeah.
The German pastor yep. that was part of the plot to assassinate Hitler.
Yeah.
Unbelievable story in his life.
That's what the movie's about, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what this book is about. But when he's explaining what began to happen early on with Hitler and trying to, you know, Hitler's trying to garner the support of the people when they're not there yet, right? They're not that radicalized yeah. yet. There are some eerie similarities to what Hitler did and what they tried to do with January 6th, especially regarding political lawfare and the political skeptics that disagreed with the maniacal dictator in Hitler. So maybe we'll get deeper into those comparisons at some time. I think it'd be worthy of a discussion.
The term for it is overplaying your hand.
Yeah. I think. Well, there's a, you know, people have been using the term lawfare a lot recently, and I think that's a good way to quickly describe what's taking place. So it's not surprising, right, that they convicted him. It seems as though his support has just strengthened since the conviction. He raised record amounts of campaign cash.
I just put our Googler on how much.
In record time as well. So here's some crazy statistics. Since his conviction, Donald Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee have reported a significant surge in fundraising. They announced a massive $141 million just in May.
Sheesh.
I just had Joel Google that a minute ago.
Including.
It's up on the screen there.
Tens of millions that were donated immediately after he was convicted, and
crashed his site.
It did. It crashed the fundraising site for the Trump campaign.
I wonder.
And definitely surpassed Biden's campaign fundraising efforts, which reported $85 million in the same period. So the Trump campaign's fundraising success, I mean, is unbelievable. And I think a wave of contributions following the verdict with Trump's campaign and with the RNC raising $53 million in 24 hours.
That's outside of the 141?
$53 million in 24 hours with the RNC. So that kind of fundraising windfall, I think, is seen, you know, as a sign that the verdict did nothing but energize
Oh yeah,
Trump's supporters, and probably even gained more support.
For sure.
And definitely won't hinder his, you know, his run.
I do listen to quite a bit of moderate content as far as podcasts and stuff. And I think moderates were outraged. The right, obviously, but I think the people that are just, things are still turning over in their brain. We're outraged by the verdict, and you don't kick. What's the saying when you poke the bear?
Mm-hmm.
I think
the bear's been poked.
I think everyone was outraged. I think people like us were not surprised,
right?
But I think moderates were surprised. Moderates, and outraged, but that we were it actually all happened. Yeah.
Don't poke the elephant. Yeah.
Us conspiracy theorists, we were way ahead of the curve on a lot of things.
I'm disappointed when things that don't outrage me, you know, when things that outrage me don't happen, I'm like,
right,
you guys are getting soft. Come on, surprise me.
Wow. This was, and if I'm out of line here, smack me back, but this was so outrageous. The only thing remotely close was the Derek Chauvin trial. In my opinion, I may be wrong here, but I feel like Derek Chauvin was guilty of some minor assault.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not murder.
He got off?
No, they convicted him of three different types of murder. Which we can argue about that, but I don't think he was guilty of that.
I need to look him up.
He's in prison getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
This one outdid that, and it's just a mockery of justice.
Yes, it is.
The greatest justice system in the history of the world.
Yep.
and it's a mockery.
And I think, again, the what this shows is that people see it. They see through it. And I think people are fed up with it, too. My favorite exchange, by the way, between Judge Merchan and Trump during the trial that I thought was just absolutely hilarious. Did you see this where, you know, he's ruled against him over and over again, and finally Trump kind of loses his cool a little bit, and he's like, what a moron, right? And the judge, he's flushed, you know, he's angry, and he shouts, $1,000 fine for what Trump said. And Trump says, $1,000? I said three words. And the judge goes, well, those three words were contempt of court, and that's $1,000 fine. Trump gets out his wallet, starts looking through his wallet, you know, thinking there's been a misunderstanding. Judge Merchan calmed down a little bit, and he's like, you don't have to pay right now.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
And Trump, he says, no, I'm just checking to see if I've got enough cash on me for two more words. just two more.
Was that also contempt when he said that?
I don't know.
I feel like that would have been another thousand.
I don't know what happened after that.
That's great. How did this get out? How did the, who let this out?
Who let the dog out?
On the tweet that it's I hilarious. Saw it in,
my goodness.
Which who knows, it could have been completely made up, but I like to think that it was true.
Yeah, that sounds
and
like
they,
stuff
they
of
shared
legend.
A picture of like one of those court drawing artists, you know, of Trump
with his
over.
Wallet.
Did you see the record bad pictures that they were drawing of Stormy Daniels?
Yes. Yeah, we actually talked about that on, I think, episode.
Did we really?
Yeah. Oh, we talked it at length.
So let's talk VP candidates, all right? So let me know what you think about this. I saw a list, if I can bring it up, regarding who that you know, is kind of like on the short list, so to speak, of VP candidates. And let's see what you think about these. So Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
Oh, no. What in the world?
Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, Doug Burgum, is that North Dakota, right? Florida Representative Byron Donalds, New York Representative Elise Stefanik, and Dr. Real Ben Carson.
I can't believe. I mean, he's got so Carson and Carson 2.0. This is the short list for sure.
That's what they're saying. They're saying that there was vetting paperwork to these potential VP candidates. Now, is that true or not? Who knows? So here's the thing. Like for me, I like, if I were just to say who I like out of this group, J.D. Vance. I don't know if you've followed J.D. Vance much.
Mm-mm.
I just like him. I think he's smart. I think he's funny. I think he's got a ton of potential. I think he's an outsider candidate. I think, you know, I think he would do great things.
Where's he out of?
Ohio, I believe.
Rubio's my least favorite on this list.
Really?
Not me.
I love Marco Rubio.
I think Rubio is the best politician of this group. Probably the best speaker of this group.
Each one of the Trump and Rubio are going to have to come up with a good apology to each other. Do you guys remember the Republican debate?
Well, there's some major bad blood there. But I thought Rubio.
Marco.
Little Marco. Remember when he got the cotton mouth?
Yes. Oh, my word.
The dry mouth. They just excoriated him over that with the water bottle thing.
For some reason, I've got a bad taste in my mouth about Rubio, and I can't put my finger on it.
He's very conservative.
Yeah, he really is. His voting record is.
He's out of Houston, or
Florida.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Donalds is a great guy. I think has a ton of potential, but he's just too new.
Yeah.
And too young, not enough experience. Tim Scott, I think, has potential. I don't know that he's actually as conservative as what he leads on about and what people may think about when it comes to him. But I think probably, if I were to say, I would say probably one of the top contenders for this spot. if I were to guess.
Definitely hung with Trump when he shouldn't have.
Yep. Burgum, I think, is kind of a wild card. I think this guy, the more I read about him, the more I, you know, look into what he has done as governor, I like it. He's kind of a cowboy. You know, he's got that persona. Elise Stefanik, I just don't like it. I don't know.
So, hey, listen, it's a long shot, and I'm not giving up on our girl, Arkansas governor. And I can't remember.
Huckabee?
Sarah Huckabee? Sanders Huckabee. I love her.
She'd be awesome.
She would
tell
be
me
great.
This.
And she and Trump get along famously.
I was with
Why
her dad.
Why can't we make that happen?
Yesterday.
I saw that.
Actually. We got go on the Huckabee show.
I've got some.
So that's the short list.
But how has he been?
Who?
Side note, rabbit trail. How is
Carson?
Huckabee.
Oh, Huckabee's great.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. Great show. Great people. Everyone was just super.
Down to earth, relatable kind of guy.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever watched the Huckabee show, but it's kind of like after like one of the old late night shows, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, they have music and they've got the announcer and they
really
have different guests and they do it like
I've
that.
I've listened to some.
They have a live audience.
So it's like Jay Leno.
No.
Yeah.
So got a real Jay Leno feel.
So he's like a, it's like a Fox show?
It's on TBN, actually.
Oh, what?
It's on TBN.
Holy cow.
Did not know that.
Yeah,
I've
watch it.
I've never watched
one. The first episode
or
the first airing of it was tonight at 7, which would be Saturday night, but they're doing Sunday night as well.
But
yeah, it was fun.
Do a couple of these look like Mike Pence 2.0s?
Yeah, Burgum.
Or is it me?
I was thinking that
too.
I was thinking.
I think even Carson.
I was thinking Carson, Scott, and Burgum.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Scott. I don't know. I was going to say he's got a thing for the princess.
I think he may be more opportunistic than genuine. I think the most genuine person on this list is J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Hmm. But
I got to look into Vance, but I'm underwhelmed.
Yeah. Go to his Twitter. He's got his Twitter's. He's going to bat.
J.D.?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm great. Unfamiliar, but I hope he's.
Rising star for sure.
I hope he's the one that. Makes sense out of these.
Strong believer guy,
seven.
Too. So that's the short list for the VP. Trump's been doing all kinds of podcasts and shows. Here's a clip, by the way, from the Paul Brothers podcast I thought was interesting. Trump gives his take on UFOs and such. Have you guys seen this, by the way?
I think I've heard the audio.
It is something else.
I only saw
sure.
it from the Freeform.
Yeah, so... I just think it's just typical Donald Trump, the way that he answers this. So let's listen up. The audio is not going to work. So what he says in this is that the existence of aliens is believable and says he has talked to pilots like Tom Cruise, but taller, who told him about UFOs that they saw. He said, I've met with pilots like beautiful Tom Cruise, but taller, handsome. Perfect people.
That was a backhanded.
There was
beautiful.
There was something that was round in form and going four times faster than my super jet fighter plane. You have no idea how many times I'm asked that question. He said, I've never been convinced, but a lot of people believe that it's true. A lot of very good, solid people believe it's true. Good people on both sides.
Fine people on both sides.
You have the deep state, and you do have a deep state, and certainly they could be withholding information, but I don't think on this subject, Trump said. I was interested in it because I've been asked so many times, and I talked to people that have said they, you know, it was a sighting, and it's very believable, it's very possible that there is something. That was his take on aliens and UFOs.
Well, if anyone would know, it was him. It would be him.
Right.
You would think that he would have some kind of a...
He's probably not going to say it, though, if he did. He's just going to say what he did.
He talked to that...
He's got the good stuff in his basement. Those good classified records.
Well,
oh, sorry,
they were seized. They were seized from Mar-a-Lago, actually.
Yeah, they were in the Corvette. So, speaking of Trump, I found a great. Have you seen? You've got to follow on Twitter, Sean Farage.
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff.
Great Trump impersonation. And he's got this one that Trump is ordering at McDonald's drive-thru. It's so great.
How do you spell Sean? S-E-A?
S-H-A-W-N.
Yeah.
F.
Farash is F-A-R-A-S-H. So listen to this.
All right, the Golden Arches, we love it. I built it with my own two hands. I would like a Big Mac, the biggest Big Mac the world has ever seen. Bigger than Stacey Abrams. You know what I'm talking about. Large, we want a large, the largest.
You want the combo?
Yeah, we want the combo with the freedom fries, the beautiful fries.
What kind of drink do you want?
We're going to do a Diet Coke, nothing better. Chris Christie needs those. And we're going to do an apple pie. Nothing says MAGA like apple pie. I do too. We're going to do two apple pies. Go big or go home.
Is that it?
That's it. It's my birthday. We're very happy about it.
Oh, well, you said it's your birthday?
That's correct.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
You're...
All right, the Golden Arches.
Nailed. The Golden Arches.
Nailed it.
I thought that was great.
He does that at... He's got a lot of videos of ordering at McDonald's, and he nails it.
So the Biden campaign is so desperate. Have you seen when they trotted out the uber leftist Trump hating TDS ravaged blowhard Robert De Niro a few weeks
yes.
ago?
Oh my word. Disgusting.
During the Trump trial. Unbelievable. What? This guy is so terrible. But I mean it's just I think it's typical though of how desperate they really are right now. But listen to what
you're darker than me, Faka.
Yeah, so this
Jinxy
was
cat.
Right. This was during the trial. He's walking down the street, and people are just heckling Robert De Niro.
I mean, this is really, even these people over here are kind of, it's kind of crazy. It's really crazy. And this thing, Donald Trump, has created this. He should be telling them not to do this. But he's just,
he's a bit discombobulated.
He's under a gag order.
He's a quarter Italian. And
De Niro,
yeah, you would think he was one hundo.
You would think he was straight out of
he
Sicily.
He would like you to believe,
right?
but it looked desperate. It really did. And I'm wondering if the $100,000 that the DNR,
Department of Natural Resources.
Oh, sorry, I've been dealing with them all week. Dadgummit, the DNC. Thank you.
Democratic National Convention?
At the DNRC. I'm wondering if the $100,000 that De Niro took from the DNC was worth it.
Right.
To be forever heckled.
So, and then he gives like this ominous and prophetic warning that if Trump gets elected again, then he's going to end all of your freedoms and never leave. Listen to this one.
Under Trump, this kind of government will perish from the earth.
Hey, the kind of government that might perish from the earth is the exact kind of government that I would love to see perish
from
the
earth. Exactly.
You know, it's like, tell me more, Rob.
Listen to what
don't
he says.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I don't mean to scare you. No, wait, maybe I do mean to scare you. If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave.
I can tell you right now, he will never leave.
Circle of trust, Faka.
How many bodyguards does Robert De Niro need?
Probably a lot.
Is what I want to know. Look at all these guys around him.
He's a Goomba.
You know that. He will never leave.
That sounds... How old is Trump? 85?
No, 78, maybe.
Sorry, I was aging him.
Let's Google it.
Never.
Never leave.
Never is a... a long time for someone right. in their late 70s. 78.
Yeah.
Worst case for Robert.
Right.
Worst case. It's 12 years.
By the way, did you see the Chuck E. Schumer memes of him at the barbecue grill?
Yes.
A few days ago. Joel, you got to look that up so Tim can see it. So this, if this is not the perfect picture of the Democrat Party, nothing is. It's just too much.
I put this on my face.
It's an obvious attempt right at this photo op to try to make people think that, you know, they're just normal. They're just like you. You know, they're just out barbecuing on their grill. You know, Chuck Schumer, he's out there just flipping burgers.
Switches.
But what actually happens with this is that it ends up being the opposite. And then he gets excoriated online for this picture of... So, Joel, out of touch. Bring this up.
Out of touch.
Look at Chucky.
Out of time.
Okay, zoom in on the grill. Look at these burgers, Tim. They're
notice
not
anything
even
about them?
They're not even cooked at all. It's just raw meat.
They're raw.
And he's
let
got
me
cheese.
Just tell you the cheese.
He's got cheese on the raw meat.
I'm not a grill master.
Neither
but
is
I
Chuck
know my,
Schumer.
I know my way around a spatula, and that is not the point that you put cheese upon your burger.
You still got to flip it at least once more.
I know.
Minimum once more.
Maybe he likes his cheese. Maybe he likes that deep caramelization.
Maybe he
that
likes
deep
E. coli.
He likes that deep char on the cheese, so he's going to flip it cheese down.
And also, like, you always put the burgers on first if you're going to cook burgers and hot dogs. The hot dogs look done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. The burgers are raw, potentially still frozen.
If right. I'm in a...
There's two pieces of cheese there.
And there's no hint. I think there's one little glint of a flame under there. Do
you know
see
what
that?
Happened?
One
little glint. You know where
right
this
there.
All went wrong.
Look
you
at
notice,
this.
Notice, what do you see in this picture? Yes.
The
Joel's
glasses.
Got us.
He's got
Keep
his...
your readers on if you're going to be cooking me burgers.
First
E. coli
of all...
is real. I don't know. I don't know how dangerous... I do not know how dangerous COVID was. I do know that COVID or that E. coli.
Look at his face.
It'll get you.
Look at his face, though.
That his readers are face down, glasses side down, on a clean cutting board. That's not been used for anything.
Mm-mm. No, but that line along the side of his head tells me he doesn't take those off ever. That's permanent. And he took them off to grill us these. Rarity rare. And they're preformed
burgers.
Patties. Those
are
preformed
they are
patties.
Straight out of a frozen box.
I promise you this. He doesn't have cargo shorts on, nor New Balance tennis shoes. I'm not eating at that barbecue.
Hey, he's one of the guys.
That's like,
is he?
You know the people.
Just one of the guys.
You guys ever do Fifth Sunday dinners?
Oh, yeah.
You know the dishes that shall not be touched?
Right.
Chuck's Burgers.
Chuck's Burgers.
Chuck's Burgers.
We don't have any. There's not. You know, Wahlburgers is a thing from. Mm-hmm. Chuck's Burgers are not going to be flying off any shelves.
It's just too much.
Anyways, yeah. Father's Day heaven.
Happy Father's Day, Chuck. His daughter and her wife just bought a house in the backyard.
Is that seriously true?
That's the comment.
Of course.
Father's Day heaven, probably, if those burgers were served with that cheese, probably turned into a post-Father's Day hot place.
Somebody needs to get over there that's a father for Chuck and his daughters
Please,
and their wives.
Dude. He needs some help.
Somebody in New Balance.
This place needs
to save the day.
This place needs a father.
Oh, man. So... I mean, so out of touch, right, with reality and real people. It's just laughable. They don't have, it's like they don't have the ability to be normal. It's not within them.
Tell me this.
It's just ridiculous propaganda, like every bit of it. Even the tweet is propaganda.
Here's the thing.
Hashtag Father's Day Heaven.
If you could organize a barbecue, Chuck puts it on, you just got to get Pelosi to show up. I'm thinking, like, the squad. We could drain the swamp really fast with those burgers.
Hey, the swamp is draining itself. We've got Chuck Schumer, who doesn't know how to cook a burger, and two lesbian daughters. They're going to run out of jeans real quick.
The swamp is draining itself, Joel says. We need a t-shirt with that on it. And then Chucky, Flipping burgers.
E. coli
burgers. The swamp is draining itself. Good luck.
If good you news, were ordering everybody. At Chuck's Burgers drive-thru, you ask for extra E. coli because there's, I promise you, there's not a table with any condiments. Those burgers are going on Wonder Buns. No brioches. I mean, Chuck's a affluent man.
The only good thing about this situation is there's no one going to be able to carry on this lineage. Right.
That's
the end of the E. coli burgers.
Joel knows
for
how
the
to find
Schumer family.
Joel knows how to find some silver lining.
And Chuck's smile just says it all.
He took it. I don't know that he had his dentures in for this photo. No. I'll tell you this: if I was going to pose as a grill master, mm-hmm. I would have had tongs,
not
a spatula.
Like
tongs
mm-hmm.
kept those. Peaked looking burgers out of the photo. They look like they were boiled.
Those are not appropriate.
I think they could be done, but they were boiled in a pot of water.
Maybe they're tofu burgers.
There is no seasoning in sight.
That would be better for the virtue signaling tweet.
Tofu burgers. Nobody's dying. I bet they were. We're off base. They were tofu burgers for his.
But
Subaru,
to me, that looks
Subaru
like...
Subaru driving daughter.
He says that they've lived in an apartment building for all their life. That's because Chucky's never had a real job, ever. But they just bought a house with a backyard. Does that look like a house with a backyard to you?
No.
Look at that gutter coming down. Does that look like something you would see on a house?
That's not the New York Frank Sinatra
song
about.
No, the song that's coming to my mind is... In the ghetto.
Right.
An Elvis number. But.
Oh, man. Think about it. People like this are running our country, Tim.
I know. It makes
they don't
me,
even know when to put cheese on their burger when they're grilling.
I'll tell you this. I am not a.
That could be the first time that Chucky has ever even grabbed a spatula, though.
It could be. He didn't have a backyard. What do you do? They had McDonald's cater all of their all of their barbecues. But he is, I think, Chuck's, I would venture a guess, and I have no clue, but I would venture a guess that Chuck's made a lot of money.
Oh. He's worth?
I feel like
what's
I
he
would,
worth, Joel?
I would trade Chuck's.
He's never had a job in his life.
I would trade Chuck Schumer stocks all day long.
And he's probably worth, I'm going to guess.
$45 million is my guess.
I'm going to guess 30. No, maybe 80. I'd say 80.
He could have afforded something other than a ghetto apartment. But, and yeah, he should probably
it's
leave the cooking
to his chef. It's all that insider stock trading is what it is.
Hey, if I get a stock tip from Chuck Schumer, I'm not going to tell anybody, but there will be signs.
Yes.
Right.
When Gordon Ramsay's cooking my cheeseburgers in my ghetto apartment. Photo ops.
How much is he worth, Joel?
That one wasn't exactly
what they do. Hide it. 81. Look, net worth $81 million.
Oh, Ben, I thought you were crazy. You were $1 million off.
$81 million.
All right, hold on. Before we get all excited, what is his annual salary?
Well, it's $175,000 a year, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close to that. Like, it's under 200, I think.
I'll tell you, he must be trading
as a senator.
CORZ, like 24/7.
I'd say.
Is CORZ, what is it?
It went back down a little bit and then it went back up.
$193,000.
I'm out.
Okay.
For any listeners,
he's investing that.
Yep. He's investing that $193,000.
Chuck is good with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is Nancy. Mm-hmm. Chuck and Nancy.
If Chuck Schumer gives me. Stock tips.
Take them.
I'm not going to tell anyone, but there will be signs.
You know, I was, I've moved on to a floundering stock this week, but I would pass it on to keep your eye on Blink Charging.
Blink Charging.
BLNK.
You heard it first right here.
BLNK. It may not be the.
Let's see if it runs like CORZ did.
It may not be the 170% that CORZ was the last month.
I will say I made a few dollars off of that tip, Tim.
It was a boon for the investor.
All right. I think it's a good time to take a break. What do you think about that? Let's do it.
took a wipe.
We're back from the break. Next up, did you see the intimate moment that Biden had with the Pope?
I did not.
Did you guys see this?
I did at the summit.
Yes.
Yeah. The G7. I heard that he was the first Pope to speak at the summit, and I was like, "Yeah, that sounds about right."
So watch this. And
did he sniff him?
Pretty much. Okay, so I got to set this up. Look at everybody's faces as they're watching this exchange. Okay, like the background people.
Before we go, is Pope Francis in a wheelchair?
I don't think so. I think he's just sitting down.
Okay.
So this is Javier Milei, by the way, right here.
What's he doing at the G8 summit?
G7?
G8. They all fly there in G8s.
Yeah. So watch this. Watch Biden.
He's in a wheelchair. Look at that. They're wheeling him.
Okay, so...
That was intimate.
Watch Javier Milei.
I thought they were going to kiss.
I know. Watch this. Watch his face. Right. Look at his face. He looks back at Biden, and he's like, what is happening?
Did you ever watch Disney's Three Musketeers?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of reminds me of the Cardinal, played by Tim...
The Pope? Look at this, though.
Javier Milei
looks
uncomfortable.
Right. Yes, he does.
Look away.
He's like, what is going on?
You don't...
He is right down in his face with his forehead touching his forehead. And the Pope seems a bit uncomfortable as well.
Biden nodded out is what happened. He kind of looks like one of those nodders on the streets of San Fran.
It's just...
The Pope, if you could ad-lib
they
that.
They are wheeling him.
They are wheeling him.
He's in the Pope-ma-wheel. He said, Biden, personal space. That's all he said to him.
That's what he said. I thought that was an interesting exchange, though.
You're in my air.
So, one of the things I want to talk about is the border crisis, and this is an issue that we have talked about extensively on the Man Cave Caucus podcast, and it continues to get worse. So let me give you some perspective on this. I'm not going to leave this alone, by the way.
But, Ben, I was told that Biden was fixing it with an executive order.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what they say.
Turns out it was an executive disorder.
But it's such a serious problem, and I think the American people do as well. But, you know, after all that's happened with my daughter and son-in-law in Haiti as well, I'm not going to let up on this. In the last few months, okay, probably close to 400,000 immigrants have been flown in. This is flying in. This is not over the border. This is not through the southern border. This is flying in immigrants from Cuba, Venezuela, and Haiti. And they give them a 2-year parole to be here in the U.S. And some reports are saying that they're giving them a $10,000 Visa card as well, at least some of them.
I'd sneak across the border to sneak back over for that.
Right.
I say sneak to waltz.
Yeah. So they're bringing in the third world, and they're doing it on purpose. There's no other way to explain it. So let me give you some inside information on this. When I left Haiti, I went and traveled to Haiti this past week. When I left, we're at the airport in Port-au-Prince, and almost every single person that was in line to get on the plane that I flew back from Haiti on had a Biden visa in their hand. They've got a little manila folder piece of paper, and that is their permission and their temporary visa to come to the United States. I'm not sure what vetting is involved. I don't think there's much of any vetting that's taking place because it has to be the Haitian government that's doing that. And there is no Haitian government.
Yeah.
And I heard that there has been over 800,000 that have applied for these Biden visas in Haiti. They're flying them in every day, several flights a day, and almost every single person on that on those flights have Biden visas.
Isn't their population in the single digit millions?
I can't remember what the population is. Joel can probably Google that. But here's the thing with that. So it would not surprise me if they've flown in Haitian gang members as well with these Biden visas into the United States, where they have 2 years to be here. So let's listen to the Biden State Department official. Have you seen this video, undercover video?
No.
Of the Biden State Department official, and gives us the real reason as to why they're letting this invasion happen. Now, again, this is another thing that's no surprise to us. We've talked about this. We know it to be the case because it's common sense, I think, when you look at what's happening. Joel, what was the population? Did you find it? 11 million.
So 9 out of 10% have applied.
Yeah. Listen to this video.
There's got to be some things that you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things.
So he says, there's got to be some things you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this. He's videoing. This is a Project Veritas undercover video. He's videoing a Biden State Department official.
You're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things. But mostly.
He says there's a lot of things, mostly with immigration.
Mostly with immigration. I wish people knew that we're letting in criminals daily.
He said, I wish people knew that we were letting in criminals daily, which, again, no surprise to me, any of us on the Man Cave Caucus podcast, and probably to a lot of the American people. But this is what's happening.
For the hell for our region is migration. Oh. So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Like how much?
$4 billion over 4 years. But now migrants are coming from us there. Right. Like Venezuela.
Somos de nacionalidad venezolana. Tenemos vuelo para Nueva York.
Entonces, so you're talking about this. Flights from Venezuela, flights from Cuba and Haiti.
Compraste un vuelo con Spirit?
Sí.
40.
Sí, entramos.
$40. Their flight from Venezuela with Spirit Airlines was $40.
So what is the end goal? Why are they allowing it?
So he asked him the question, what is the end goal? Why are they allowing it?
Because they want to change the demographics of the United States.
Did you see what he said?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the truth is they want to change the demographics of the United States. Mm. This is a Biden State Department official who is saying this.
So our aid goes to female prisons in Mexico.
Some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
To like help train them up.
I'm working with gender.
He said he's working with gender issues in Pakistan.
In Pakistan, so we're trying to recruit, retain and advance more women in law enforcement. The question becomes, should we be spending U.S. taxpayers' money another country on this issue, when it's that they don't seem to care about.
Secretary Blinken, how close are you to him?
5 degrees separation. This is such a niche industry that flies under the radar.
Yeah.
That the average American does not know. Most people don't know what we do.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much to you, Ranking Member Risch, all the members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
He has briefings coming up in 2 weeks.
He has briefings?
Yeah, on the Hill.
About
the FY 2025 budget request. And that's like with all the congressional people. Big issue for the Hill for our region is migration.
Oh my.
Help stop migration. What are we doing to stop migration?
He's not accountable for that, is he?
Yeah, we do stuff for it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's called the root causes strategy.
Ooh.
It's giving money to support and help people at where the origins of the migrants are so they feel like they can stay there. instead of migrating out. So it's Central America, basically.
It's what?
It's basically Central America, like right. Support and development. Oh. So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Mm.
I don't know if I can stand to listen to it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, is Project Veritas where they go to a...
abortion clinics and...
I feel like that had to have been at like a place where, like a place of ill repute that might have a rainbow flag hanging out mm-hmm. front. And
well, a lot of times they
serve up a few beverages and bean spillage.
Yeah.
Just.
They do the seedy undercover work.
Yeah. A few drinks and all of a sudden they're spilling all the beans.
Loose lips.
Is that guy, have we got confirmation that guy's still breathing?
I don't know.
Someone needs to check on his aliveness status.
There needs to be a wellness check.
So here's the thing. I mean, just in the last week, there has been at least four major stories of illegal immigrants raping American women or children. Just in the last week. It's unbelievable what's happening with this. So here's a story from Not the Bee about these four different stories in the last week. The rape and murder of a 12-year-old by two illegal immigrants from Venezuela. So probably here on a Biden visa. Caught by Border Patrol, by the way, and released into the U.S.
They all are.
Right.
Nearly.
Nearly all. Raped and strangled to death a 12-year-old girl. And two of those were arrested for murder. Here's another one. The rape of a 13-year-old girl by an illegal immigrant from Ecuador, New York City, I believe that one was. Here's another one. Rachel Morin, raped and murdered by an illegal immigrant from El Salvador.
I bet they are trying to get out of El Salvador, too.
After being released three times, this murderer still got away and committed this awful crime. Mm. Here's the fourth one, the kidnapping of a 14-year-old girl in Indiana by five illegal immigrants from Honduras and Mexico. A 14-year-old girl.
And it just...
That's in 1 week.
It makes me think that not only are they facilitating this by, and I say they, by the Biden White House, but not only are they facilitating it, but I think, is that not what they want to happen? Is it to cause further division? You want to get someone
so
seeming prejudiced.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And I know so
I think it's
many
multiple reasons. I think it's that. I definitely think it's to divide us, to cause us to hate one another. But I mean, what do you do if your 12-year-old girl is raped by an illegal immigrant? How are you going to feel about that?
I mean, you just see red,
right?
Period.
How could you expect any human being to feel any different?
Yeah.
But it's also something that I think they obviously are bringing people here to, you know, for voting purposes in the future. I mean, not even just in the future. It's already happening where places are already trying to give voting status to illegal immigrants. That's definitely a part of it. You know, I think there are multiple fronts and reasons why that they're doing this.
You know what I think the number one reason is, and no one says this, is that closed borders and a big wall was a Trump policy. And on day one of Joe Biden's presidency, he got rid of that policy. And having a safe country free from illegal immigrant crime is a major point with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right wing. That's everyone wants a safe country.
It's an American idea.
It's an American idea. But since it was a Trump policy, Joe Biden's steering so far this way.
Like an overcorrection?
An overcorrection. Trump, orange
man
bad.
To try to virtue signal.
Orange man bad. We're going to get away from that. And he's really cost the country in safety.
Stupid games. Stupid prizes.
It is, because I'm telling you, many of these people, the bad people that are getting in. I'm not saying, I mean, there's many people in these countries that are in bad situations that if you were given an opportunity, you would probably take it too, right?
Yeah.
But the problem with that is when there's no vetting.
And that's the thing. We would give it.
Right.
I mean, like any human.
We want the best.
The best for people.
Yes.
Like, I do not want criminals.
Give us your doctors. Give us your lawyers. That's what we want.
Well, I definitely don't want people that are literally evil people who have no scruples about being brutally murderous in their actions.
I'm okay with
that. Is so common sense. It's unreal.
I'm okay with the give us your hurting. Give us your, like, I'm not a monster. I truly understand helping people out of a hopeless situation.
Right.
It's the same bleeding heart that ends up with your streets being filled with junkies. Help people who are going to help themselves.
Right.
That's really where it is.
And who are going to be an asset to your country.
You don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer for me to say, you know, bring your, what's the saying?
Tired, huddled masses.
Yeah. Bring the tired, huddled masses.
As long as they're not going to be on welfare in 6 months. No, seriously.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
This
like,
is a place where we can build people up.
Yeah. Let someone who doesn't have an opportunity come and get the same opportunity that our great-great-grandparents had. But over here and rape and kill? No. No. Zero
tolerance.
The fact that we have to sit here and have this conversation blows
pitiful.
My mind.
Exactly. Yep. So we're not going to shut up about it. We're going to continue to cover that because I think it is, there's a reason why, you know, 70 or 80% of our country, when you poll this issue, are concerned about
and
illegal immigration.
And I'm just as concerned that there's not a reason, you know, that's like, it doesn't matter if it's a political agenda. It's wrong. Going to ruin our country.
Yes, it already is in a lot of ways, and that's, you know, that's just, it's where we're at, but so we're going to keep our eyes on that. A break from national politics for just a bit. So let's talk about Missouri for just a moment. The Missouri governor's race is heating up. This is something that I've been paying attention to a little bit, and so I was looking at some of the numbers. And it is quite interesting how it is tightening up.
Is Colonel Clanders
so we're
moving
gonna talk,
up in the polls?
We're going to talk about that. So here's the most recent poll I saw. I think this is Emerson polling. Ashcroft is at 23%. Kehoe has moved up to 20%. He seems to be kind of closing the gap in Ashcroft's name recognition that is very strong. Seems to be waning a bit. Igel is at 6%. Olson, who I've never heard of before I looked up this poll, actually, is at 2%. Chris Wright is at 1%, along with Colonel Clanders, McClanahan. He's also at 1%.
1% of the state is going to vote for
Colonel Clanders? That's what this poll says. And Thompson, who I've never heard of, is at 1%. Jeremy Gundle is at 0%. I do know him. Actually, I've met him. He's a libertarian guy. But you still got 46% undecided. So
that's wild.
46%.
This lays the game.
Let's be real, Joel.
Right.
Let's be real.
Hey.
I'm going to be texting
Ben on the
most
day of
knowledgeable person.
Yeah, I've been there.
That I know, that's the 46%. I mean, there's three of us in the room. One of us are probably 100% on who we're voting for. I mean, you're there probably. I cram for the exam.
So
usually as I pull into the parking lot and I just hope.
It's terrible.
I hope that there's
a little ballotpedia in the parking lot.
Otherwise, I could be the Colonel Clanders voter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
he's
be
number
that guy.
Uno. Well, I'm not going to be this year, thanks to this podcast, and I hope our listeners are.
But
you're welcome.
You would be so surprised at how many people were like, "I've heard that name somewhere."
He's number one on the ballot. I may want his special blend of herbs and spices in our government. I don't know, and that's
he's number one on the ballot, number 10 in our hearts.
Let me just yes. Well, I don't know if he ranks in our hearts, but I'm just thinking if Ben doesn't respond to that text, number one, I didn't know that it's a game of bingo for who gets number one on the ballot. I might have thought.
Ben, if you might have to edit this out later. I don't want to get you in trouble professionally.
Yeah. No, you're good.
There's no good option.
I don't know if he's good.
Jay Ashcroft, probably in my mind, is the best option. Terrible public speaker. Think about what, think and say, Jay. Kehoe, the FOP is endorsed Kehoe. I don't know, not sold. Bill Igles, slimy snake. And
strong words.
I know Chris Wright. I know he's a good guy.
Yeah. Trimmed his house.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You just reiterated that
typical politics when it comes to the ballot.
It's
unfortunate.
You know the eeny, meeny, miny, moe game. It's whoever you start with. I have used that at the polls once or twice because turns out the one person that I might text and ask, you know, who's legit, he's a busy man.
Yeah, I saw another poll showing that Kehoe is closing the gap as well. And the difference, too, with this is that not only is he trending at the right time, but he's got a lot more money.
What do we know about Kehoe? How did he get his money?
He was a car dealer. Yeah, owns
used
a car dealership.
Car dealers. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
You know,
Former senator.
Coming into the thing, years ago, I didn't think that I would like Governor Parson. He did better than I thought he would.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the difference is like what I try to look for, but is so rare, is people that are leaders. Like, you know, you look at.
Well, you're not going to find that.
No, I know.
You're not going to find that among leaders.
Right. You look at Ron DeSantis, or you look at even like Greg Abbott to some degree, they lead on issues, you know?
Well.
And with that, you can move the legislature to work on those important issues. And we've never really had that in Missouri.
I listened to Tucker Carlson today. I listened to a few of his, but I listened to the one with the president of Salvador. And then there's a probably controversial senator. Or no. He's in the House from Kentucky. He was being blasted for voting with the squad because he's just completely...
Thomas Massey.
Yeah, yeah. So
great guy.
I listened to his podcast, or I listened to his interview, and it's like, that guy is okay with being an outsider because he's a principled person.
Yeah.
And he talked about politicians. He said a lot of people come to him and ask him why the person they voted for got into the House, got into the Senate, just got into politics and changed their view. And he was explaining that you're talking about, you know, politicians are typically people who are well-liked and they want to keep being well-liked. And
At any cost.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's where I was like, okay, so maybe politics is the furthest thing that I should have from my mind because I am a people pleaser. And at some point, he was talking about peer pressure, and I was thinking about, like, the people you vote for, you kind of want them to be completely okay with being controversial. And I think most of the people who are drawn to politics, and I can say for a fact that that's something that I appreciate about you. You don't mind, you know, being, and I'm not buttering biscuits, but you don't mind being a little bit frustrating for your own, your own party at times and things like that. But just listening
swimming
to him
against the current.
Yeah. Listening to him, I was like, this is the kind of person that
Thomas Massey is a principled person.
Yeah. You don't have to agree with everything that he says. I know he's like, especially with, the Israeli conflict and stuff, like he's just dead set, but he's principled in the sense that it doesn't matter what conflict it is, where it is. If it's not in the U.S.'s interest, he's probably not on board. I'm okay. I don't have to agree with everything he says.
What
but,
did he vote with the squad on?
Is the Israeli conflict
money for
the,
Israel?
He's not varying at all. It's the Ukrainian, whatever it is that We just don't have a lot
foreign
of business
aid.
In. Foreign aid, he's 100%, yeah. And he has always voted 100% against the military-industrial complex.
Okay, so I can respect that.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's 100% on it.
I can respect that stance, but at the same time, it is in America's best interest that Israel
I fully agree. Yeah. But looking at him and saying, I don't necessarily, like, I'm, like, give Israel whatever. I mean, don't give Ukraine, but if you're going to be principled on that, you know, stick to your guns.
Sure, I get it.
And so, in that sense, it's like, those are the type of people that you're looking for that aren't in the clique. They're not in a squad. They're not in any
It. They're not doing it for likes.
In Washington. Yeah. They just vote principled voting. Yeah.
And I
regardless.
Respect that no matter what your principle is.
Whether you're
is,
a Democrat
actually.
And you're mm-hmm. principled,
which
at
is
least,
very extremely rare.
I'm sure there's a couple. It's a How many?
It's a Unicron.
Yeah, a Unicron.
Right.
Hey, how do we get on this? Mike Kehoe?
Kehoe. I was asking about
the governor's
Kehoe,
race.
And I really
what
don't.
What was the point of the, what was your point, I guess?
Principal people.
Just showing that the governor's race is tightening up in Missouri.
Gotcha.
And
it really is. I've been thinking about it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't, but come voting day. I'm hoping that somebody's been. I may text you, Joel, just to give Ben some reprieve. He's going to have a lot of texts.
Yeah, it happens every time.
So,
but that's
no, I mean,
fine.
I hopefully
that's
we can
one of those,
whittle it down.
I think that's going to be one of the, for me, it's going to be one of those hold your nose and fill in a checker spot.
Yeah, that's most of the votes I make on the ballot.
That's that is that's my history.
I almost die every time of not being able to breathe.
Well, my voting.
This will probably cost me, and it'll probably cut law enforcement funding. And
well, I hope not, but
no, surely not,
you know, maybe
surely no one would be that petty, right?
Yeah. Maybe this episode will only get, you know, two
you know
or
what,
three
you know what, if,
of our faithfuls.
If this episode catches the ears of Jay Ashcroft and Kehoe, by all means, take your wrath out on me.
There you go.
On just personal. Catch him on Twitter.
Yeah. So next up, this is hilarious. A military history buff in China stumbles upon a steal of a deal at a thrift bookshop. This is a Not the Bee article. And this is the headline. Some guy in China stumbles on 4 books of Chinese military secrets at local recycling station. Oh, it wasn't a thrift shop. It was a recycling station. Bought them for under $1. So
what?
Yes. So it talks about in this article, it says the Communist Party of China is usually pretty good at keeping secrets until someone gets lazy with the shredder. Chinese news websites have reported that a military history buff stumbled upon a juicy find when he bought 4 discarded books for less than $1 at a local recycling station. They turned out to be confidential military documents.
I want to learn Mandarin so I can read these.
It says the man who only identified himself by his last name, which I'm sure he probably made up at this point.
Smith.
It was Zhang. Yes, yeah, Smith.
Yeah, there's only a couple. Zhang is the Smith in China, I think.
He quickly turned himself in and didn't disclose the contents of the documents.
Good call, buddy. You want to talk about being disappeared.
Right.
It would make Epstein's situation look up and on the up and up.
So here's what's funny is China's Ministry of State Security, whatever that looks like, shared the story on social media Thursday, giving a shout out to the retired man for calling their hotline to report the discovery. It says, Mr. Zhang thought to himself that he had bought the country's military secrets and brought them home. But if someone with ulterior motives were to buy them, the consequences would be unimaginable. Mm.
I would have
what
slipped.
A good guy Mr. Zhang was.
I would have been willing to 10,000 times his investment.
Right.
For just one.
It's just crazy.
You guys wouldn't eat. I would have to take a sabbatical from the Man Cave Caucus podcast to learn Mandarin.
It it also says that the employees were supposed to shred over 200 books, but they just sold them to a recycling center as paper waste.
Have you ever stuck a book in a paper shredder?
A book? No.
Let me just tell you, you need an industrial one. And they were looking at the desk bin, and they were like, no, this ain't going to happen.
Right.
Let's just pass these off to
The recycling center. It says that since then, the military has tightened their procedures for handling sensitive materials.
You know, I will say that going green probably cost somebody their life.
Yeah.
China,
heard from Zhang lately.
No one's heard from Zhang, but not Zhang. Zhang was the good guy in this story. Right. The person who passed that off to the recycling center, you know, they were live streaming the G7 summit.
Yeah.
And just felt like doing the right thing. It cost them their lives.
So, last but not least, you're going to get a kick out of this one. Congresswoman Cori Bush made some outrageous claims recently. She's from Missouri, by the way, regrettably.
Sheesh.
Have you met her?
I have, actually. She came to a committee hearing that I was on the committee of, and I asked her some questions. It was quite interesting. I need to find the tape on that.
Was it uncomfortable?
It was uncomfortable for her.
I bet it was.
I was loving every minute of it. But I was asking her why that crime had gone out of control in St. Louis, and she didn't like my reasoning and my arguments. She was blaming it on racism.
Oh, sure.
And I was saying, well, what about these other things? And she didn't like that at all.
Inconvenient truths.
Yeah. But I do have to hand it to her. She did come. So it was over redistricting. I was on the redistricting committee. And she was, I think, the only congresswoman or congressman that came when their district was up for debate. Because we had a hearing on each of the congressional districts, and anybody could come and speak and ask questions or whatever on that congressional district. And she actually came and spoke. But yeah, that was my interaction with.
Did you guys get that done in one session?
Yeah.
Man, it seems like a lot of work.
It's a unbelievable amount of work. And so ours is the committee I was on was congressional redistricting.
So no,
the redistricting for the Missouri legislature is done by a bipartisan committee. So
this is a question I should know the answer to, but does the House do filibusters also, or just the Senate?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Okay.
You're limited.
Huh. So wow. Senate's unlimited.
Yeah, Senate's unlimited on filibuster.
We got to experience.
And it doesn't have to be germane to the topic. In the House, even for 15 minutes, you have to speak on the topic or you can get gaveled.
Wow. Interesting.
That sounds much more efficient.
We met, what's his name, the Speaker of the House?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dean Plocker.
Dean Plocker. Mm-hmm. We met Dean Plocker. He didn't seem like a guy that would put up with much frivolousness.
Yeah.
Business.
So Cori Bush made some claims in her new autobiography. Colin Rugg, I found this on his X account, chronicled what she said in this.
Tell me this, Ben.
Yeah.
If she's a senator, right?
She is a congressman.
Congressman.
Yeah.
If you make it to Congress, the Lord sees fit, give me some editing liberties on your autobiography. Yes. I don't want to hear about any dogs or goats.
Right.
Or healings.
Right.
These are lessons lived and learned. We'll know.
Right. So she claims, the squad member, Democrat, Cori Bush, claims she performed a number of miracles and cured illnesses as a religious faith healer. These comments were made in her new autobiography, where she spoke about the power that was residing in her.
Mm.
In one instance, this is a true story, guys, as far as her telling it, claims she cured a woman who was suffering from tumors. She said this, I quote, One woman whom we met had several visible tumors on her torso. She was due to have surgery but lacked health insurance and living in the park, Bush said. One of the tumors was particularly painful to her. I laid hands on her and prayed, and I felt that my hand was no longer touching a tumor. It shrank along with the others on her body. In another instance, Bush said she healed an ailing toddler in St. Louis. The child had a bleed in her brain shortly after she was born and so couldn't walk. I carried the child from the prayer room in the back of the church out into the sanctuary. Walk, I said gently to the three-year-old girl. You will walk. And this girl took her first step, then another, and another. She walked. Her grandmother walked into the sanctuary just in time to see the child take about 24 steps. She screamed, and then she kept screaming. When she caught her breath, she looked at me in wonder and said, "Praise God." She grabbed her granddaughter and walked with her out of the church. That was words from
Cori Bush,
Congresswoman Cori Bush.
Cori Bush may end up with a show on TBN, much like Huckabee.
No, I don't think so.
You remember Benny Hinn?
Oh, yeah.
So listen to this video that Cori Bush put together, this campaign video, about being the congresswoman from St. Louis.
I'm the St. Louis congresswoman. Of course, I start every floor speech with St. Louis and I rise. I'm the St. Louis congresswoman. Of course, my ravioli is toasted. I'm the St. Louis congresswoman.
That was Chef Boyardee ravioli.
I call Panera Bread, St. Louis Bread Company. I'm the St. Louis congresswoman. Of course, we turned our area code into a holiday. 314 day. I'm the St. Louis congresswoman. Of course, I eat my bagels sliced. I'm the St. Louis congresswoman. Of course, I'm fighting for economic, racial, social, and environmental justice.
As she stands by Michael Brown.
Mike Brown.
I'm the St. Louis congresswoman. Of course, cringy. I bring my community with me.
All hail St. Michael.
Oh, my.
So there's that. Congresswoman Cori Bush. I think she might lose, actually, this year.
Who's running against her?
Some not is crazy it, person.
His last name is Bell. His first name is Wesley. Wesley Bell.
I was
running
afraid
against
it
her.
Might be a frying.
Look up a poll, Joel. See if there's any polls on the, is it the first district, I believe? First congressional district, St. Louis?
Ben. Don't look at me like I know.
See if the race is tightening up between Wesley Bell and Cori Bush.
Cori Bush trails Wesley Bell in 3-way primary.
Hey, she's trailing.
That was in February.
Is this a frying pan to fryer situation?
No, I think Wesley Bell at least would be a sensible
Democrat.
Maybe
he is a literal fryer.
April, challengers outraise incumbents.
You know, going from the frying pan to the fryer might not be too bad if it's like Friar Tuck.
Democratic challenger once managed a GOP congressional campaign.
No polls? They're probably keeping those quiet at this point.
You know, she eats her bagel sliced.
Mm-hmm. She calls it the St. Louis Bread Company.
Yeah,
so
I
there's
think it's
that.
Panera Bread. I'm pretty sure it's Panera.
I think it started out as the St. Louis
did.
Bread Company.
It used to be Panera. We had one in Joplin.
What?
What's it saying?
When is this? Apparently she's losing by 22 points in this APEC poll.
I think that's possible.
If she is.
Is APEC, isn't APEC the
Israeli
mm-hmm. lobbyist group?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they polling?
Because she's
Congress.
Well,
I bet APEC's pumping a bunch of money.
She's
in.
An anti-Semite.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, that would.
So
that
they're
would
probably
be motivation.
They're probably backing Wesley Bell, I would imagine. So 22 points.
Hey,
according to that poll,
St.
When
Louis.
Was it?
That's what I can't find.
Do you realize that St. Louis could be saved by the bell?
February. This is a February poll.
Okay.
I may not have a future in politics, but maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's very likely that she could lose, actually.
Maybe in political. What are the people who, Yeah, I don't have a future in anything, turns out.
But, your future's bright, Timmy.
But people who do campaign slogans,
mm-hmm.
I would probably do it for free as the best news.
Mm-hmm.
Saved by the Bell should be his campaign slogan. Mm-hmm. He could have the he could have the Liberty Bell.
Memorable.
Yeah. He could have a Liberty Bell hanging beside him.
You could have bell-shaped magnets.
No doubt.
To put on
lapel
your fridge.
Pins. Bell-shaped lapel pins. Mm-hmm. Lapel pins. It would be a lapel pin, I do believe, actually.
Right.
Well, I'm going to be on my 3D printer this evening.
That's everything on this episode.
We covered a lot of ground.
We did. I still don't feel like we're real caught up, but we will be. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Don't worry. So, don't forget, you can go over to Apple Podcasts and you can leave us a 5-star review and follow us there. You can also go to Spotify, leave us a review, and follow us on Spotify. The Man Cave Caucus has taken off, continues to grow, and it's all because of you guys, our listeners. So, keep coming back. We'll have more good information and plenty of shenanigans as always next week. So with that,
God bless.
God bless, everybody.